What a gift. Hundreds of children and folks gathered on the chancel this morning. Can't help but give God praise for God's faithfulness and for this congregation's faithfulness. Would you pray with me? God of abundant life, your grace is our daily bread. Nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we might grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is from the Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 103 to 105. It might sound familiar because we just sang it a moment ago. Hear God's word for us today. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of the Lord. Thanks be. And our second passage this morning is from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I wonder, what are some of your daily disciplines that keep you grounded, that keep you healthy and whole? Maybe you have a daily exercise routine or some habits that connect you to your family. What are your spiritual routines that keep you rooted? For me, it's my morning cup of coffee and my daily habit of reading scripture. And often, because I have a 9-month-old who's been sick and teething, that morning cup of coffee is just as sacramental as reading my Bible. But I feel rootless when this is missing. And I'm learning that there are times in life when there are major transitions or shifts that it's easy to become rootless. When our family went from one child to two, everything had to shift. And it took us a while to figure out routines and rhythms with two children. And now with a baby, we realize yet again it's in constant flux. And when our family uprooted our life in Texas to follow God's call here to Wisconsin, a lot of things changed. As we transplanted ourselves into this new community, we realized we had to nurture our roots. We had to find some disciplines and rhythms again. And yet, for me, one of the things that has shifted in this move is my daily personal prayer time. You see, for over a decade, I had a set daily devotional and prayer time every morning before I would drive myself to the church office. I worked my way through daily devotional books, through Lectio Divina, different prayer practices, but that time to study was fixed. And then we moved to Wisconsin with two children. And getting two small children ready in the morning, finding new routines and rhythms, meant that everything was off balance. As we transplanted ourselves, everything had to change. So for a while, my devotional time has been at 5 a.m., before anyone wakes up, that quiet calm of the morning. But then this winter, our son kept getting sick, and he was up at all hours, so that had to go out the window, and I had to find a new time. And I have to admit, I felt a little bit rootless with this spiritual discipline. In fact, I confessed this to my 92-year-old grandmother on the phone a few weeks ago. She calls me nearly every week to check in, to see how I'm doing, and she's the sort of grandma who is kind and firm. So she said, "Susie," she's the only one who calls me Susie, "how's your devotional time going? How are you staying rooted in God's word while you minister in a new place? And I had to confess my struggles. And she gave me sage advice: calendar an appointment with God. I'm so grateful for her. Have you had a similar experience of feeling rootless? Have you ever gone through a time of transition in your life where you've been plucked up by God and put somewhere else, needing to find new disciplines, new rhythms? Well, that's exactly what was happening for Timothy. And the Apostle Paul wrote him two letters to help ground him in his faith as he was doing a new thing. Timothy was young. He had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. And he converted to Christianity when Paul came through on one of his missionary journeys. He would soon partner with Paul and Silas in their ministry. And because he was young, he struggled to be rooted, to be grounded. So Paul took the time to write him two letters to encourage him in his ministry, to encourage him in his faith. This letter for today, this chapter, has a whole series of exhortations, the sort of advice you get from a 92-year-old grandmother. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to be rooted in God's word. Paul is reminding Timothy that if he is to minister, if he is to be a faithful Christian in a place where there is persecution and struggle, he has to be rooted first with God in Scripture. And so Paul says, go back to Scripture, which is God-breathed, Scripture which will tell you the truth, which will expose rebellion, which will correct your mistakes and train you to live God's way. Through God's word, we're put together and shaped for the tasks God has for us. Paul's exactly right. Without Scripture, we become rootless. In fact, the Bible is probably the soil of our faith. It's not just a book to be read and set down, but it's the ground in which our faith develops and grows over time. Last week, we began a worship series on being rooted and reaching, and we explored the practices of worship and prayer. Those disciplines are also the soil of our faith. We can't grow without worship and prayer, but Scripture is that foundation as well. You see, in order to walk with God, we have to know who God is. And there are two ways that we know who God is. One is through creation, general revelation. In our experience of God at work in God's world, in conversation with others, and the way we see beauty in a sunrise or a sunset. But that doesn't make full sense unless you're grounded in Scripture, which is God's special revelation to us. Through our study of Scripture and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn who God is and how God wants to be in relationship with humanity, with all of creation. Now, Presbyterians in particular are really focused on the Bible. In fact, everything in our worship service is grounded and centered on Scripture. This whole morning, we've heard Scripture multiple times, from our call to worship, to our opening prayer, to our songs. All of those words and songs had words from Scripture that were quoted. And the center of our worship service every single week is this time when we hear the Bible read and I preach a sermon that, God willing, builds a bridge into your life and gives you something to take with you from this place into your lives. That wasn't always the case for Christians. Before the Protestant Reformation, people put the Bible in the hands of just a priest. Just one person had access to it. That's no longer the case. Everyone has access to God through reading Scripture. The Bible is so important, though, that we don't just study it here in worship on Sunday morning. It's important to be reading it in our day-to-day lives, and it's important to be reading it in community. Why do we do this? Because something happens when we read Scripture and study as the body of Christ. The Spirit is at work, nudging us, showing us a new way to go, providing clarity, teaching us. So maybe you're wondering, how do I start studying the Bible? Well, you can pick up the Bible and start reading it cover to cover. That's one option. But I might suggest that you read it with a devotional guide solo and also study it in community. If you don't have a daily discipline of reading scripture, I invite you to start by picking up a devotional book. We have copies of our daily bread here at church. Or if you're tech savvy, you can go to a website like d365.org, which has a daily devotional that you can pull up on your phone and read through in a matter of just 10 or 20 minutes. Or if you want to actually read scripture and study it, start by picking one of the Gospels. That's the easiest place to start, the story of Jesus' life and ministry. I love the Gospel of Luke. It's one of my favorites. And you might start by just reading 5 verses a day, 5 short verses. The other step to studying scripture is to find a translation of the Bible that you like. There are 30 different options or more out there, and if you go to websites, you can pull them all up. But find one that helps you understand God's word. For devotional reading, I like the Common English Bible or the Message. It's written in plain English. For Bible study and preparing for sermons, I love a good study Bible with footnotes. But don't just study scripture on your own. We also have an opportunity to read and study the Bible in community. One of the things that struck me about Crossroads is the strength of our congregation is all the small group opportunities we provide for people to study and grow in community. I'm wondering, show of hands, how many of you are in some sort of small group here at Crossroads? Wow. And for those of you that aren't, I invite you to go to the table in the narthex and learn more about the small group opportunities we have. There are new groups forming all the time. And if you are in one of those small groups, I invite you to think about who you might invite to join your group so that they too might grow and study. Presbyterians value study and using our minds and hearts in pursuit of a relationship with God. And what I love about small group studies is that you hear a diversity of thought and opinion, and we are sharpened in that experience. I have the privilege of getting to be part of a small group here at church as well, the Wednesday Pastor Bible Study Group. They are my small group, and I love them. I am the youngest person by 2 decades in that group. And I asked them this week, because they're a little bit more seasoned than I, why do you keep reading the Bible? Why do you keep studying it? Haven't you learned all you need to learn? And one member said he feels more of an urgency to read scripture now that he's older. He's contemplating the end of his life and realizes that scripture contains so much to help him in his relationship with God. It's essential to his day-to-day life. Another member shared that now that she's not so busy with small kids and in a new season of life, she too has a desire and time to study again. And another member shared that being in a small group is essential to her life of faith. She loves hearing differing perspectives on a Bible passage, but what she most appreciates is that community of faith. You see, when you're part of a small group, you're not just studying scripture. You're sharing the highs and lows of your lives. You're getting to know one another. You're doing life together. When you're in a small group, you're not just studying the Bible for your own intellectual well-being, but you're studying in community for your own personal growth and community building. What I also appreciate about Crossroads is that we don't just care about our adults being rooted in Christ. We want folks in all generations to be rooted in Christ. And so for that reason, as Maureen shared earlier, 15 years ago, Crossroads decided to step out in faith and expand our ministry of Christian ed beyond Sunday morning to 3 days a week. The session realized we had an opportunity to provide quality Christian education to our smallest children, planting seeds of faith early. Now, some churches have preschools that are separate from their church, but Crossroads intentionally made our preschool a ministry of our church so that we would have some ownership, some skin in the game, so that the Christian focus would not be lost or diminished. And 15 years later, we've graduated 500 alums who've learned about the love of God through our preschool. What a gift. What a gift to have Maureen and her dedicated team of teachers who love our children and care about passing faith onto them. They pray with them, they sing songs of faith, they teach them Bible stories, but they share the love of God with them. And that's something that cannot be replaced. Crossroads has stepped out in faith and shares and continues this vibrant ministry because we're committed to all ages knowing about Jesus. And we're committed to partnering with parents so that they can help their children know about Jesus. One preschool family shared this testimony. Crossroads does an incredible job of instilling important and foundational Christian teaching to its students. In addition, the preschool prepares our children to settle conflicts, interact with people from different backgrounds, and treat everyone with respect in a caring, supportive, and nurturing environment. And another family shared this testimony. It said that a child's moral development is most affected by loving and caring adults in the preschool ages. Our family has been intentional about surrounding our children with lots of Christian influences in these early years. And a big influence we have loved has been our time at Crossroads Christian Preschool, the loving teachers, the loving volunteers, and director. The teachers are great leaders and help prepare our children not only for school, but for a life of faith. Crossroads, I am so grateful for our stepping out in faith 15 years ago to start a preschool. It was a risk that we took. And I'm grateful that we remain committed to providing not only a preschool, but faith formation for all ages. Now, it would be very easy to rest on our laurels this morning, to pat ourselves on our back. And yes, we must celebrate the gift of commitment we've had in the past. But as we look ahead, we have to stay committed and vigilant, because it's said that Christianity is always one generation from being extinct. So we have our work cut out for us, but thankfully we walk on this path not alone, but in community, and with God's word serving as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.